And now here are some words from anarchist prisoner Sean Swain. Quick note to listeners, this segment mentions certain sensitive forms of violence towards trans people, and if you are not in a place to hear that right now, just turn down your dial for the next 10 minutes or so. Additionally, this segment mentions the fact that sometimes people in prison feel the need to associate with certain groups in order to survive, groups which they would not normally associate with. And the Aryan Brotherhood is mentioned in this context. What you say, what you say, what you say, what?
Kara is a transgendered prisoner held captive in Ohio. She's seeking support in her struggle to gain recognition of transgender rights in prison. Kara was born Adam. Even as a child, Adam always related to girls rather than boys and wanted to play with Barbies. Societal stereotypes forced Adam to play with G.I. Joes, so Adam chopped their heads off and buried them in the yard. In repressing his true identity, Adam became a tough guy, the exact opposite of his internal self. At 13, Adam's grandfather died, and a few things converged all at once. First, his internal identity didn't match the external, and he didn't know why. Second, in looking over his adoption papers, it only reinforced the sense that he was always unwanted and worthless. And third, Adam had no sense of self-value. That led to the first suicide attempt. Do you know what the suicide rate is among transgender teens? Google it. It'll ruin your dinner. When Adam sought therapy, the therapist even advised to hide his true identity. So at night, Adam would lock his bedroom door and put on the girl's clothes he bought with his paper route money. And he'd pretend to be accepted by imaginary friends, represented by action figures and stuffed animals. Adam's parents found his stash of girl's clothes and asked if he was gay. His honest response was no, because he knew what gay was and he didn't feel gay. Instead, he felt like a woman whose body didn't match his identity. But he couldn't articulate that. So, Adam attempted suicide again. If you're keeping score at home, that's two efforts to end an intolerable existence of confusion and fear and pain. At 16, Adam found chat lines, and with it came the freedom of anonymity, being able to express through electronic media what he couldn't be in the course of daily life. The effort at maintaining the lie of his false identity as Adam had its costs. He got involved in drugs and alcohol and ended up in prison, an environment that even more demanded the maintenance of the tough guy facade. At age 25, on his third prison number, Adam joined the Aryan Brotherhood, the ultimate expression of the super masculine stereotype that was completely inimical to his internal reality. Adam never really bought into the group's racist agenda, but his membership in such a reactionary, heteronormative group certainly hit his internal woman. Back on the streets in 2005, the mother of his child expressed her certainty that Adam was gay. Adam agreed, even though gay didn't fit. He went to the mall and bought girls' clothes, went to gay clubs as a flamboyant gay man, what Kara now describes as super gay. At age 25, Adam transitioned into life as a woman. Problem is, she inherited Adam's drug habit and had to prostitute herself to support it. In a hard year of life as a woman, she was raped twice. After the second rape, she vowed to herself that she would never let it happen again. Then came the situation that got her locked up. A guy came onto her and got aggressive and didn't understand that no meant no. He got naked, and in the ensuing struggle, she saw the glint of light on metal, reached for a knife, and stabbed the guy repeatedly. All the trauma of the past rapes and all the pain and anger created the perfect storm. She slit his throat and nearly decapitated the guy. Just an observation here, but it doesn't seem like that guy was using his head for anything important anyway. During the criminal proceedings charged as Adam, he claimed he killed a sexual predator who tried to rape a girl he knew. That was true, of course, but what Adam didn't mention is that he was the girl he knew. So with 25 years for manslaughter and other incidental crimes, Adam returned to prison, still sporting an Aryan Brotherhood patch. And the mother of his child scrambled to erase a year of life as a woman from the internet. At age 26 in prison, Adam finally came out as Kara. She took the name Kara because it's the name her parents had planned to give her if she was born a girl on the outside. She even came out to the Aryan Brotherhood. Talk about courage, huh? Turns out nobody wants to mess with somebody who has demonstrated the capacity for sawing off a human head with a Ginsu knife. Go figure. After a long and painful journey, Kara has finally come to the conclusion that the only thing that was ever wrong with her was that she was uncomfortable with who she was. All she ever wanted was to fit in, to be liked, for people to love her for who she is rather than who she felt she had to be. Looking back, Kara now contends that going through all of that suppression in order to find her truth has made her a stronger woman than she ever would have been. And now we reach the good part. The ODRC recognizes transgender designation and provides accommodations. For instance, transgender prisoners can shower alone at times, set aside for them, and can insist on pat-downs by guards of the same sex to which they themselves identify. But the staffers who approve or deny accommodations tell Kara that she can't have women's clothes, for instance, and they cannot force other staff to use feminine pronouns or her name of preference. Further still, Kara is denied the commissary and catalog purchases afforded to women prisoners at women's prisons, clothing, cosmetics, jewelry, hygiene items. She is not afforded the same right to express her identity in grooming and maintenance. So, for Kara, the accommodations don't go nearly far enough. She's now looking for some outside support so she can file a federal civil rights action that will not only recognize her equal right to the same treatment as women prisoners, and not only change the landscape of transgender rights, but hopefully, her struggle will provide a sense of dignity and hope to transgender teens out there, who now are confused and hurting and alone, and may otherwise become a suicide statistic. Kara has to change the social norm that it's okay to think of transgender as less. She needs to develop a support system and a legal fund. With any luck, there will soon be some postings at SeanSwain.org for how folks can get involved with Kara's struggle. Or you can write to her directly at Kara Bakersteady, 606-000, P.O. Box 120, Lebanon, Ohio, 45036. Hopefully, Kara won't have to be heroic by herself. If she is, shame on us. This is anarchist prisoner Sean Swain from Warren Correctional Institution in Lebanon, Ohio. If you're listening, you are the resistance.
You can write to Sean Swain at his new address by directing it to Sean Swain, 243-205, Warren, CI, P.O. Box 120, 5787 State Route 63, Lebanon, Ohio, 45036. For updates on his situation, his bid for U.S. President in 2016, and more writings by Sean can be found at seanswain.org.